Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, Syria. What it looks like now, what it looked like, well, before now. My guest is Daniel Demeter. He's a photographer who spent many years shooting photographs of the glory that was, and maybe perhaps still is in a few places, Syria, a country of extraordinary history, architectural distinction, and now, of course, of a brutal civil war. Daniel Demeter, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.
I think this book turned out a little bit differently than perhaps you... Well, maybe the book didn't, but the whole story of Syria has turned out a little bit differently than when you set out to create this book. Tell me what your original mission was and, well, the reality now.
Absolutely. When I first visited Syria, I really fell in love with the country. And in 2006, I returned to more thoroughly document the historic and cultural sites around the country, mostly to encourage people to travel there. It was a country that wasn't so well documented, especially in photography. I intended to create a website for all my photos of the country and encourage more people to visit. And ultimately, I did that. I have about 30,000 photos of the country, which I've put a lot of them online. And then I was contacted about putting together this book just recently.
Really? That's interesting. Because, you know, what you captured and you know, you think about a place like Aleppo and what, you know, what Aleppo is now, there just must be a huge gap. It must be very painful for you, for someone who obviously loves the country to sort of have a vision of what it, you know, what it can be, what it has been in your head, and yet also all the imagery that we see from Syria today.
Yeah, it's been absolutely devastating, not only because of the loss of cultural heritage and the amount of destruction, but, you know, I have many friends from Aleppo, and most of them have been displaced from the city and had to flee to other parts of the country or abroad. It's been very difficult to witness from abroad what's occurred in the country over the last 5 years.
Your photographs are beautiful, and this is radio, so you know we'll put a few on the website, but it's a little more complicated to describe one art form and another. What was it that attracted you to Syria in the first place? And talk about its extraordinary history in terms of antiquities, in terms of architecture and so on. What brought you there, and what was there? What would there be there if there had been no civil war?
Well, what initially really drew me into Syria was the old city of Damascus. That's where I ended up living and used it as my base to travel around the rest of the country. It's just an incredible old city. It's often described as one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. It has antiquities dating back from the Greek and Roman periods and even earlier than that. And the old city has just all these tiny little alleyways and small doorways that lead into these grand courtyards with big fountains and just incredible architecture, many of them converted into restaurants and cafes with lively atmospheres. And there's beautiful mosques and churches and madrasas or religious schools, fortifications. Just, it's an incredible city. And as I traveled further around the country, you know, I found incredible castles and landscapes, and it's a very diverse country. Lots of different cultures, religions, ethnic groups, traditions. Much more diverse, I think, than most people imagine, given the stereotypes of the country.
Well, and tribal is another word. There was one picture that particularly, from being someone who's been to Lebanon a dozen times and understanding some of this stuff, you know, this was a picture that I found particularly interesting, mostly because of who's on the wall. And listeners, I should say, it's a photograph of a man in a very ancient kind of what's called a beehive dwelling. But on the wall behind him are some beautiful old garments, but also a photo of Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, the militant, or depending if you call it militant or terrorist organization, based out of Lebanon. But you don't say anything in your description about the meaning of that, and I wondered why.
Well, it kind of depends on the context. I think those particular photos were taken in 2006 and 2007. When Israel
just right after the war, yeah,
had launched a war against Hezbollah in the south of Lebanon. So I think a lot of Syrians at that time really identified more with Hezbollah in that conflict.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm curious. Do you have any idea? Would this gentleman be Sunni or Shiite? Or
I imagine because he's from a countryside east of Hama that he was probably Sunni.
Sunni, yeah.
But
probably does not
sure.
have a Hassan Nasrallah picture on his wall anymore, since Hezbollah is supporting the regime of Assad, and they are not exactly pro Sunni.
I couldn't say. It's definitely the conflict has a lot of sectarian elements, but there are a lot of people that still in every religious sect, I think, identify with each other.
Yeah. I'm talking about Syria with photographer Daniel Demeter, who spent a number of years documenting that country's architecture and art and culture, only to see, well, the civil war happen. So what's it been like for you as someone who knows the country so well to see to see it tearing itself apart?
It's been tragic. I mean, it's really been painful to observe. I've broken down and cried over it several times. I have a lot of close friends that have been severely impacted by it. I know a priest that had been killed, that he really had a lot of influence on me. And it's been really difficult.
Yeah, actually, you're reminding me, a former guest on this program was James Foley, who was the first reporter who was executed, beheaded by ISIS. And what, for those who really don't know anything about Syria and who haven't had your experience, to say the least, what is being lost? I mean, aside from beauty, which you capture so wonderfully in your book.
It's becoming very divisive. So when I was in Syria, most people I met were very, very proud of the peaceful coexistence between all the various religious sects and ethnic groups, and even people of different political views. They were very proud how they could kind of unite around their shared, heritage. And I think to some extent, in some quarters of the country, that's being lost. They're kind of rallying around their religious identity now.
One side or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in terms of cultural heritage, I mean, Aleppo has been totally devastated. Many of the most important monuments in Palmyra have been intentionally demolished by ISIS.
Who just put explosives on them to blow up these 1,000-year-old statues and the like.
Exactly. And one of the big problems in Aleppo have been a tactic used by the opposition where they dig tunnels. And they've detonated explosives in tunnels throughout many areas of the old city, which have destroyed several historic mosques.
It's sort of mind-boggling. And as you look back on your relations with Syrian people, does it force you to reassess, when you see the kind of savagery and the ability of these people to do such great harm to each other? Does it force any reassessment of what you understood?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely elements of the country that I didn't get too involved in. I mean, most of the people that I was interacting with were fairly educated, often English speaking, and usually in the more urban areas where they have higher levels of education. I did sense some sectarian tensions in some parts of the countryside I visited every once in a while. I never thought it would explode to this level of hatred between various groups, but yeah, it's been really difficult to see this conflict unfold. And thankfully for me, a lot of my closest friends have managed to get to safety. But there's people that I've lost contact with, and I wonder what's happened to them, and it's difficult.
I don't want to dwell excessively in what your book is not about,
because
sure. Your book is about this gorgeous, beautiful, historic country. It's just hard to think about it in a context that no longer exists. But for you, what were your favorite parts of the country? What would, you know, if you could go back there, where would you most want to go back to?
Well, as I said before, I really fell in love with Damascus. But as far as other parts of the country, the coastal regions of Latakia and Tartus, which largely have avoided the conflict, are really incredible. That part of the country is very similar to my home of California. It's a Mediterranean climate. There's some incredible mountains and forests there, some beautiful beaches, fortresses up in the mountains, a lot of them from the Crusader period that are just incredible. And then on the other side of the mountains, you have the Algab Plain, which is one of the more fertile areas of Syria. And there's a lot of fortresses there as well as the extensive Roman city of Apamea, which is incredible. I loved exploring that part of the country in particular. Aleppo was remarkable as well, especially its marketplace, which was one of the largest in the Middle East. It's covered markets, and there's a good collection of photos from there in my book.
Yeah, it's like you took these photographs at the exactly perfect moment, in a sense, where the country seemed like it was emerging from the, so many years of gray dictatorship, and unfortunately, well, fortunately, you captured its glory. Unfortunately, that glory, so much of it is savagely damaged.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people really realize this. I think, you know, we kind of stereotype the Middle East as a whole, but Syria was considered a really, really safe country prior to this conflict. And in 2010, the Ministry of Tourism said that 8.5 million foreigners visited the country. And, you know, a lot of Iraqi refugees had been fleeing Iraq, the violence there, to find safety in Syria. In 2006, a lot of Lebanese fled to Syria. So it had been a place that was kind of a safe haven for a lot of people for a very long time, dating back, you know, to the Armenian genocide even.
Hmm. So what would you like people to know about Syria? You having been there who knows how many times, but what would you like the world out there to know about Syria that they're not reading in the newspapers?
Good question. Well, I think a lot of people have the perception that it can't get any worse, that Syria has been just so totally destroyed that it can't get any worse. And that's not really true. There are a lot of areas of the country that have not been severely damaged, that have not seen severe fighting. So those are still places that we could save and can be preserved. And a lot of places that have been damaged, the damage has been moderate. So they can still be restored and preserved, you know, if we can end the fighting as soon as possible.
When are you going back?
Definitely not anytime soon, sadly. I mean, I'd love to, but I don't foresee it being safe to visit, especially as a Westerner, for quite some time, sadly.
And let's do a plug. Where can people see these photographs online? Well, of course they should buy the book, but if they don't, where should they go online?
SyriaPhotoGuide.com is my website. I also have a Flickr account that has all of the photos, as well as a Facebook page.
Okay, well, the book is Lens on Syria, a photographic tour of its ancient and modern culture by Daniel Demeter. Thank you, Daniel, for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.